When we go to the supermarket to buy spinach, fresh spinach, we realize how challenging it is to breed the crop. Well, that is not something that many people recognize. But spinach is a challenging crop to breed, given that it is a dioecious plant, meaning having males and females at the same time. If you plant any, sow any 10 seeds, likely you're going to get males and females, even from the same parent. So it's important that we develop tools that are important in improving spinach. But again, what region are we targeting with this project? We are targeting the lower Rio Grande Valley of Texas, which is a very hot environment and challenging diseases and all that. And some of the methods that we want to use to improve the breeding efficiency of spinach are molecular methods and, of course, high-throughput phenotyping that we're going to talk about. So the objective of our project is to develop and validate high-throughput phenotyping system for spinach screening, and also to develop molecular markers linked to plant growth parameters. That is the objective of this particular project that we are presenting right now. And in this report, we're going to touch on traits and phenotyping and the markers and how we genotyped and, of course, how we did association studies to associate the traits that we phenotyped and the genetic architecture of spinach. So we had 2 years of data, 2016-2017, and 280 breeding accessions from Texas A&M and USDA plant germplasm system. And we used UAS or UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles, to collect spectral data of photos from using specialized cameras, and in our case we used RGB, that is red, green, blue, to phenotype. And the images are usually taken, they overlap one another, so that at the end of the day no portion of the plot or plant is missed. And therefore we have a whole field stitched together, and we have every plot information from the images. And each data point was every week, 1 week, we took the flights. And what does this involve? It involves dedicated mission planning of the flights and, you know, paths, flight paths, and autonomous computing or putting the programs in computer to have autonomous, to direct the autonomous flights, and of course image processing and processing. And some of the images that we have down here are some of the mosaic processed images that are stitched together from the overlapping images of the UAS system. Some of the traits that we looked at were bolting, which is important in breeding for the breeders because of targeting earliness. You know, the market want to have late bolting plants. And, of course, we have canopy cover. We want to these are related to yield and, of course, canopy volume and canopy height. The parameters under canopy cover, for example, we had maximum canopy cover. We looked at the point at which we had the maximum canopy cover, and that is what that was revealed from the images that you see from on your right, on the right of the screen. So each week we had the images taken, and you can see the progression of the plant growth. And from that, the spectral information, we are able to decipher or to determine what a trait, the best time to capture the maximum growth parameters and perhaps marketability of given traits. And we did the same for canopy volume and canopy height. And an example of how we calculated that is revealed in this diagram, where we calculated from the equation of the curve, we calculated the maximum growth from at the point where the derivative of the function of that equation, x, is zero. That is the point, and that relating it to the days after sowing, that is DAS. Now, put that aside a little bit at the parking lot, and let's go to the GBS, because this is the information that we're going to use to associate with the traits of interest. And simply, we used the 284 accessions. Each one of them was genotyped. And simply, the procedure of genotyping that we used was double digestion, RADSEC, or restriction-associated DNA sequencing method, which involves, you know, double digestion enzymes. And, of course, the digested fragments are ligated and barcoded and selected for sequencing. But then, before sequencing, we have the amplification of each fragment. And the results that we want to achieve from the sequencing of each of the lines is to find SNPs, or the markers that we're going to associate with, or the causative SNPs that we want to associate with the traits of interest. And before with the SNPs that have been called, before doing a genome-wide association studies to associate the traits and the SNP data, we got to determine the population structure. This is important in weeding out possible false SNP trait association, because different populations might be having innate differences between them, and the SNP differences might be because of the difference in the population structure. And here we determined that the best population structure that would achieve our goal was 3, represented by K. And we used the population of data to model in TASL using generalized linear model. But again, before doing mixed linear model in TASL, we got to determine kinship matrix. This is a square matrix that is used as is also used as a variable in the model. But the results that we have in summary is, this is just a table summarizing some of the marker trait association results that we got. We got some markers associated with canopy cover, canopy volume, and early bolting, pollination, and kernel fill. And the take-home message here is perhaps the presence of dominant and additive effect of each of the markers. Because we realize as breeders, dominance effect might sometimes, it's good for hybrid production, but as you know, for genetic gain, we are targeting additive effects which might be masked by the presence of dominance. And therefore, penetrance of the trait might not be visible to the breeder, given that the breeder might think that, oh, we are not getting having genetic gain, yet it is being masked by the presence of dominant traits, dominant markers. And therefore, we'll be able to select for specific markers given their mode of action. So that is the take-home message that we have here. And then for all the other traits that we covered, and for future studies, we're looking at the growth rate, because the companies and the fresh market are interested in the point at which spinach has a maximum growth rate and the freshest point of spinach. So we'll be looking at color and leaf uniformity, disease resistance. And one important trait, I mean, a few of the important traits that we're looking at white rust at this point, and anthracnose screening using drones and high throughput phenotyping. But the picture you see there is from a household camera. It's just showing the potential of screening for these diseases using the spectral system. And with that, I want to thank my boss, Dr. Avila, and our colleagues, Dr. Marconi and Senna. And the UAV platform was organized and carried out by Juan Encisco and Dr. June. Our collaborators, Ashi and Bioinformatics, was Dr. Bedre and his boss, Dr. Mandadi. The funding, USDA NIFA grant, and Texas A&M seed grant.
We have time for a couple questions. So my question is, if you use UAV, and yes, from my understanding, you're actually using the reflection rather than LiDAR, right?
Yeah.
So do you have any impact if it's a cloudy day? Does it actually impact on you collecting the world's data?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yes, she's asking whether the weather can, that is cloudiness, can affect the, of course it does. Now, of course, the data that is gotten is dependent on the reflectance from the plant. And the reflectance from the plant is also dependent on the physiology of the plant, the water content, the, you know, the pigments and all that. All these reflect at different bands. And therefore, they're sensitive too. The weather, and that is one of the challenges that we
actually, in order to normalize the data, what we do is we put when we fly, we put some panels with color standards so we can normalize the data based on those color standards. And that's how we try to fly at midday, so for uniform, when the light is for uniform, and the sun shade is put off, running that way.
He's asking if it was possible to see the differences. Across time, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, use kind of a small weak spot, so I don't know if the drone would be able to pick it up or
solve it. I don't know if I get you clearly, but yes, there were differences that could be, there are clear differences, yes, from the images, yes. And of course, the sensitivity of the cameras are able to pick up those differences, and the data shows it, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.